What's that sound? That, my friends, is an actual recording from earlier today in the parlor of the Take No Shit Dojo, which is where this show is made every week. And those are no ordinary winds, no. Those are the famed Santa Ana winds. Winds that make people do weird stuff. The winds of Satan.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
They say the tribes that lived here long before the missionaries showed up, the Tongva and the Chumash, they named them the Devil Winds. Even back then, with people who lived close to nature, those desert zephyrs just did something strange to people. Legend has it that white settlers accurately translated the Indian name and called them Satan Winds, until some sleazy realtor suggested the name be sanitized and Christianized and Latinized by adding two letters and a change in accent, and presto, Satan became Santa Ana. But even that was a fuck-up. Wasn't Santa Ana the general who slaughtered Jim Bowie and the guys at the Alamo? Yes, he was. Those devil winds are difficult to describe. They're hot and dry, and in L.A., like most coastal towns, the wind usually blows in from the ocean, except when the gates of hell part somewhere out there, way out there, deep in the Mojave. A massive slab of the desert floor cracks open like a festering carbuncle and belches shirocos from the mountains to the sea. Those belches carry spores of a pathogenic fungus that causes coccidioso mycosis, otherwise known as valley fever. The symptoms are flu-like, heightened temperature, cough, headaches, rash, and muscle pain. Sometimes it triggers pneumonia, lung nodules, and that fungus can spread right through the body, causing skin ulcers, abscesses, bone lesions, joint pain, heart inflammation, meningitis, even death. That hot wind turns LA inside out and upside down, often with disastrous results. LA is perhaps the most unstable city on earth, filled with kooks and creeps, from Holly shit to the People's Republic of Santa Monica and beyond. And it never stops moving. Los Angeles has about 27 earthquakes per day. Of course, you can only feel the bigger ones, but maybe that's why people are so batshit crazy. If even the ground beneath your feet is unstable, of course the residents have got to be nuts. Santa Ana's sometimes kill people. They'll knock over trees or utility poles or blow a hunk off a roof. Gusts have been recorded at 175 miles an hour. Aside from death-dealing fungus, they say the Santa Anas create positive ions, whatever those are, which can cause migraines and nausea. They increase levels of serotonin, which also makes us squirrely. Once in a great while, something good does come out of L.A., like Pulp Fiction writer Raymond Chandler, creator of the fantastic Private Eye, Philip Marlowe, played to perfection by hipster saint Bob Mitchum in the films Farewell, My Lovely and The Big Sleep. I suppose Chandler and Marlowe were L.A.'s answer to New York's Dashiell Hammett and Sam Spade. I like Marlowe way better. He was tougher and cooler and had pointier girlfriends. Besides, Hammett was a card-carrying commie, so fuck him and his punk detective. Here's what Philip Marlowe had to say about the Santa Ana winds. There was a desert wind blowing that night. It was one of those hot, dry Santa Anas that come down through the mountain passes and curl your hair and make your nerves jump and your skin itch. On nights like that, every booze party ends in a fight. Meek little wives feel the edge of the carving knife and study their husbands' necks. Anything can happen. You can even get a full glass of beer at a cocktail lounge. While we're quoting Chandler, here's another. Nothing to do with the devil wins, but plenty to do with devil women. It was a blonde to make a bishop kick a hole in a stained glass window. How do you not love that guy, huh? So there's this mythology that has grown over the years about these wins. And you know, every Sunday I walk down the road of peace to the Center Sunday Chapel, and I talk about the spiritual realm, and there we've looked into this desert thing a bit. When Satan came to tempt Christ, he stretched out his bony arm from a mountaintop and told J.C. he could give him all that he could see, which was all desert. Maybe it really was his to give. Maybe that's his hang. Charles Manson thought so. So have many other evil maniacs. Maybe the desert is an actual portal of hell. It's hot, it's dry, and it will kill you if you give it half a chance. Cactus to impale you, rattlesnakes to poison you, rocks to smash your head, sand to blind you, sun to burn you. It's a garden of death, and very beautiful. And here is this crazy metropolis, Los Angeles, built upon a desert. Had Robert Mulholland and his gang of hoods from L.A. City Hall not stolen the water from up north, L.A. would still look like a desert. So now you've got millions of people living here in this fabricated, phony city, a city where there should be no city, a city that's a huge, sprawling junkie, hooked up to an IV of H2O. And if the connection gets severed and the water flow stops, so will life. L.A. will be the world's largest ghost town. I'm not so sure it isn't already. Tom Petty said there were vampires on Ventura Boulevard. I can verify that. And not just for the Santa Ana season. Damn near everyone in L.A. is a junkie as well. Fame junkies, fortune junkies, movie junkies, celebrity junkies, attention junkies, real estate junkies, car junkies, bling junkies, cosmetic surgery junkies, Botox junkies, and plenty of junk junkies as well. And when Los Angelians tire of the local junk, where do they go for a change of pace and scenery? Some lush green meadow with shade and ponds with lily pads and flora and fauna? Fuck no! They hop in their look-at-me cars and drive 300 miles through the desert to another portal of hell, Las Vegas, Nevada. A concrete and neon shithole that is a high-rise artificial version of the natural desert on which it is built. The desert floor wants to blind you with sun and poison you with snake venom and stab you with cactus needles and choke you with dust. And the city of Las Vegas wants to bankrupt you with rigged games while giving you free booze so you'll play more sloppily. Oh, and go ahead and light up and smoke. That's okay. Go right after those lungs. And just in case you do walk away from the tables with more than you started, they'll gladly give you a room for the night so they can siphon your winnings from you the next day. And if you should feel amorous and meet the floozy of your life, there are plenty of 24-hour wedding chapels, many of which offer theme weddings, Hawaiian, fairy tale, Star Trek, goth. You could get hitched by a Michael Jackson or an Elvis clone. That way, what happened in Vegas will follow you back to L.A. and charge you alimony for the rest of your life. As much as I hate Vegas, I do love the desert. And those hot desert winds. Without the Santa Anas, the desert is a silent movie. Unless, of course, somebody drops a lit cigarette out there, or parks a car with a hot catalytic converter over some dry brush. Then the desert makes its own music, and it's a crackling, Death March. When people from elsewhere visit LA, they're always concerned about the earthquakes, and they are horrific. The initial pounding is bad enough, but for weeks afterward, you get awakened several times a night by violent aftershocks, and you wonder if the aftershock is actually a fresh quake, which could easily be more violent than the original one, and set up the region for weeks more of aftershocks. But if you look at the statistics, earthquakes, at least in Los Angeles, claim far fewer lives than snow and ice does in the Northeast. People having car wrecks on icy roads and coronaries while shoveling snow. The 1994 quake killed 57 and caused billions in damage. It was probably more like a trillion in losses because it tanked the ever-buoyant real estate market for years. And that number was never figured into the true cost of the earthquake. I was here for that quake, just a few miles from the epicenter. Maybe I'll cover that in another episode. But the far bigger danger is the fires. They come every year, and they become conflagrations if whipped by those Santa Ana winds. Those winds can blow sustained at 40 or 50 miles an hour, with gusts of 80 or 90, and if you're in the way of them, you are not going to outrun them. Many firefighters have died in their vehicles. The tires will melt off them before they can get out of harm's way. The wind works like a bellows, superheating a normal fire to blast furnace temperatures. Those fires will create their own weather systems within, tornadoes made of flame. That's pretty damn satanic. The first time I saw one, I had recently moved to LA and bought a little crib in the San Fernando Valley. My office was in Westwood, on the other side of the mountains, about 20 miles away. One day I looked out the office window toward the valley and wondered if someone had set off a noiseless nuke. There was a gigantic mushroom cloud growing in size as I watched it. I could not believe what I was seeing. Then somebody stuck his head in the door and told me I had better go home if I still had a home. I jumped in my car, headed onto the freeway, and it was chaos. Definitely that end-of-the-world evacuation vibe. People were driving like psychos. By the time I got home, neighbors were on their roofs with garden hoses. It was raining hot embers. Holy shit. I climbed up on the roof and started wetting it down. I had always been under the impression that asphalt shingles are fireproof. Not so. In fact, they're barely fire-resistant. When an ember would land, the shingles would smolder. I had to really watch my footing on that roof because those winds were trying hard to knock me down. And it was like whack-a-mole with the hose and the embers. I remember thinking, what the fuck have I done? What am I doing here? The fire was only a mile or two away. With the wind behind it, how long would it be until arrival? The smoke was getting thicker. It was eerie and scary. And then suddenly, the wind stopped, like somebody threw a switch. It was like the eye of a hurricane, near perfectly still. Then, a slight breeze kicked up and became progressively stronger. Soon, I could see quite a distance again, and there were no more embers coming down. The wind had shifted direction. I did not sleep that entire night. I just watched TV for news of that fire, which was all there was on TV. By 3 or 4 a.m., they had given it a name, the Malibu Fire. The wind had pushed it toward the Pacific. Good for me. Bad for Malibu. In a matter of hours, dozens of homes were reduced to ash. Only the stone chimneys remained. Those and charred and twisted automobiles, so thoroughly baked you could not even guess at the make or model. Usually the Santa Anas hang around for 3 or 4 days at least. They come around the middle of every October and can add a real hellish flavor to Halloween, especially when those fires rage. One Halloween, the entire West Valley looked as if it had snowed. There was a quarter inch of white ash covering everything. Houses, cars, lawns, roads, and every kooky Halloween decoration. It was surreal. Some years back, another fire ripped through a suburb northwest of L.A. called Simi Valley. There was a cool park up there named Corriganville, after the aviator Wrong Way Corrigan. They used to shoot a lot of movies up there, including The African Queen, a testament to Hollywood trickery, to make that desert landscape look like a jungle. But they did. Many times I hiked up there, and after the fire burned it all, I wanted to see how it looked. And the answer is, like a moonscape with glitter. The glitter was broken and melted glass. For decades, assholes had been ditching beer and soda bottles in the brush, and when the fire swept through, all that remained was that glass. I have some images of that strange landscape, and I'll post them on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. And now, here in the dojo, the wind has died down for a while. It does that sometimes. It just drops off to nothing, and then you'll be in the middle of a deep sleep, and the place will start to creak and whistle, and the sound is, well, to tell you the truth, it's a sound I've come to enjoy, like rain on the roof or waves lapping a beach. Odd as it may seem, it can be kind of cozy, knowing you're on the inside while all that howling is going on outside. Until you hear a fist pounding on your front door. Come back and hang with us next Tuesday for our Halloween show. Now, last year, in episode 49, we spent Halloween with a mob, where Tony Spumante and I visited Houdini's grave, and I nearly became an accessory to murder. Next week, we'll scare the hell out of you with tales of real-life Halloween horror. Because truth is always scarier than fiction. You won't want to miss this one. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com for some pictures of my devil wind and brush fire experiences. There you'll find lots more content, like 134 other episodes. And while you're there, be sure to click that subscribe by email button so you never miss one. And click that Patreon button too for access to special bonus episodes, signed books, custom recordings, and more. So wherever you are, if you're thinking about visiting the city of fallen angels, better make sure you're well hydrated with holy water. Ha 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 ha.